parents, grandparents who were denied rights because the paternity hadn't been established, and other significant persons who become emotionally attached and significantly involved in a person's life. What I did in working with the legislative council in drafting Dash 8 is to require that the court must determine from clear and convincing evidence, not just by preponderance of the evidence, that visitation is in the best interest of the child. So this amendment applies to a limited class of persons, only allows visitation, and only allows visitation if it's in the best, if the petitioning party shows by clear and convincing evidence that it's in the best interest. Nevertheless, I think at least Children's Services Division was opposed, fearing that all kinds of people were going to come in, intermeddlers, and at least use this and attempt to get access to visitation.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Brown.
In that TAN council, the on line 5, would you explain local parentis?
If you look on the House amendments to House Bill 3197, and if you look on page 1, line 16, that right, that says that the petitioning party can ask for custody or visitation or other rights. Line 19 should conform, but doesn't. I mean, if you can ask for one thing, the court should be able to give you custody or visitation or such other generally recognized rights. So what that does is conform the statute, one to the other.
Just give me the interpretation of the Latin, would you?
Oh, other generally recognized rights of a person.
Local parentis.
That is a person acting as a guardian or a legal guardian for the child. So that would be rights, access to, for instance, medical records, meet with teachers, correspondence, telephone, any other rights that a legal guardian of the child would have could be granted to the appropriate party in this case. It just, basically the amendment tracks the language in line 16 and 17.
Is there any opposition now to these, Mr. Chairman, these amendments?
Well, let's see. I wonder, Council, did we check with Representative Campbell's office on are they aware of the concerns that we had from the other day?
I checked with Representative Campbell initially and gave him a copy of my memo. And he was supportive of problems 1 through 4 and my proposed solutions. He was not going to take a position as to problem 5.
Okay. So in any event, he is not opposing these amendments, I guess.
That's correct.
As far as we know, there's no opposition to the amendments.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Cohen.
Well, just in simple words, the effect of Dash 8, and I don't think there is any opposition to 10. Effective Dash 8, Mark, is to broaden the significant person, or whatever we now call them, could go and request.
It does create an additional class, but it limits the rights that this additional class could have. This additional class could only ask for and be granted visitation, not custody.
I personally appreciate the Dash 8. I like it. Don't you?
It's an awful hard standard to meet in Dash 8. You've got to maintain the relationship with continuity for at least a year. And then you also have to show clear and convincing that visitation's in the best interest.
Well, if you've had an ongoing continuity for at least a year, aren't you visiting or meeting otherwise?
I'm sorry, Senator Brockman, I don't understand the question.
Well, if you have had an ongoing personal relationship with substantial continuity for at least a year through all these various things, doesn't that imply somewhat that you have been visiting?
Oh, yeah, but then they take it away.
Yeah, certainly, but this is to remedy the situation where a person then is subsequently denied that contact.
Ah, okay.
That's just, yeah, that's how it happens.
Have we moved any amendments?
Nobody's moved anything yet.
Anything yet.
What do you want to do?
I'd move the dash 10.
All right, Senator Cohen will move the dash 10 amendments. Discussion. Any objection? So ordered.
And I'll move the dash 8.
Senator Hammond moves the dash 8 amendments.
Did we vote?
Discussion on that. Any objection? So ordered.
I'll move the...
I'll move it. Senator, to do pass. All right. Whatever, whoever.
Senator Cohen moves 3197 as amended to the floor, do pass. Discussion. Call the roll.
Aye.
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 Andy.
Aye.
Wires.
Aye. Okay. I'll call House Bill 3013. And Council?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this bill, if I can find it,
Mr. Chairman, are you going to need me for the rest of the time?
I'm on call momentarily. And
well,
I just have a meeting sort of congregating in the back of the room. I could have my meeting across the hall, I guess, at some point in time. Well, so how many bills do we have left, Mr. Chairman?
Let's see. We've got
these two and I don't know.
Well, two and maybe three, but two is all. I've got these, the one we're on now, and then the 2301. And that may be all we've got left.
Okay.
If I had Senator Hill here, I would... yes. I don't know where you'd start looking, though. You can, hearing, or Senator Wires is in hearing room B. And yes, he could come up.
I think he's through testifying. So he is free.
Well, see if what you can do, will you, please?
You're kidding.
3013, yes. Council is going to discuss this with us.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the major issue in this bill is contained on page 2 of the bill, lines 9 through 12. It would allow the court to specify a particular type of care to be provided to the child. It was amended in the House to address a concern of the Children's Services Division. They felt they might lose funding under federal statute. So the language was added, but the actual planning and provision of such care, supervision, or services shall be the responsibility of Children's Services Division. Now, you may recall this was the controversy at the hearing as to whether the statute, and that's cited specifically in the staff measure analysis, would still be a problem and whether CSD would be in danger of losing some federal funding. That continues to be a controversy. You may recall the Juvenile Rights Project gave the committee an extensive analysis indicating they didn't think it was a problem, that no other state had been cut off from funding, and that this was not a real concern. On the other end of the scale, Children's Services Division has now supplied a letter to the committee, dated June 8, 1987, with supplements. The supplement dated June 4th is a letter from Department of Health and Human Services, which does indicate some concern with the amended language. Doesn't say we're going to cut you off. It does indicate some concern and proposes a solution. The a memo attached to that is very ambiguous. This is from the Attorney General's Office Family Law Section as to whether or not the bill would cut off the funding or not. I've had the opportunity to share the June 8th letter with the June 4th attachment with the Juvenile Rights Project. They maintain their position that they are confident that this language will not put the Children's Services Division in any danger of losing funds because the actual planning and provision remains with CSD. CSD remains concerned, and that's where we are.
Anybody have any comments?
I'm ready for it.
Okay, I still have my lingering concern about the bill, and so I'm going to be no vote in spite of all the lobbying. And mine is quite different. My concern is quite different from other folks. I'm not concerned necessarily about CSD or the federal government intervention or restrictions, but I just think we've got review. If we're going to give the juvenile courts the authority, then let's give them the authority to run the show. And once again, we've got citizen review. We're spending $1 million on the citizen review boards, and we're now giving, and that's not good enough to sort of figure out where people ought to be placed with CSD. Now we're going to go back and give the judges that kind of authority.
Yep.
We're adding to anything by, and yet I have comments from my own juvenile court judge who is recommending passage with some mixed messages.
So we don't have the votes, so we can close the folder.
Right, you can go on to the other one, the next one. The next one, and the next one we could amend pretty well.
Unless Senator Frye is favorable.
We're still on 30.
We're waiting for you to vote on 3013 since you can't.
My vote?
Well, if you want to pass it out, I'm still going to be a no vote.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll move 3013.
All right. Senator Brenneman. No, we don't have any amendments that have been proposed.
No.
Everybody is satisfied with the way the bill came in then? Okay. Let's see. Now, wait a minute. I think I had a reservation about Section 5 there. Has that been discussed?
I have highlighted it.
Has that been discussed at all? That's the one that it doesn't that increase the...
No, that's not...
Am I on a different bill?
That's 3345.
Okay, that's right.
That's right, yeah.
All right. Senator Brenneman moves House Bill 3013 due pass the floor. Council, what's this notation here about Senate Bill 441? Is it?
Legislative Council has indicated to me the possibility of a conflict amendment that may be necessary in Senate Bill 441. If a conflict amendment is necessary, it is only because of some words in 441. That is, there is nothing between 441 and this bill that materially conflicts. There's a couple of words in 441 in a section that will have to be moved around if this bill passes, but there is no material conflict.
All right, then. So that's the motion, Senator Brenneman's motion to pass, send a House Bill 3013 on the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Call roll.
Aye.
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 No.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, I couldn't tell from you, Senator Hamby, whether you had some reservations or... I'm sorry I wasn't here for the discussion you just had. All right.
Record, it was.
It wasn't.
get four votes?
All it takes in this committee.
I'm sorry, I didn't get Senator Hamby's vote there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she voted aye. Brad, I've got people searching the building for one body, and then I'll try to let you get out of here.
I'm going to be around the corner.
You're going to be around the corner, okay. You know?
Unless you want to start amending it now. Right, Senator Hamby, we could amend it first.
No, I don't want any amendments to it.
Senator Wires will be here as soon as he can.
No amendments.
Well, maybe we do. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to get, accommodate some people. Do we have some amendments, is that it, to this?
Well, you're talking about 2301?
Oh, yeah.
I've got one written up here with the,
Let's go into 2301. Come on up.
Bars Lobby, it's acceptable to them, and I think it's acceptable to the realtors, and it's...
Now this, okay.
It takes care of the problem, I think, in their regard, and...
Okay, that's fine. I wasn't aware that anybody was working on it.
I thought you'd seen it.
Oh, I saw that, but that was just going to be a statement on the record.
Well, it's been reworked into the form of an amendment.
It's also, Mark has some language too, Mr. Chairman. They changed it again, apparently.
All right.
I can.
Okay, now, I'm sorry, this is news to me, so I'll have to take a minute to read it. I'll tell you in a minute.
Jan Wires.
Senator Brenneman is proposing that House Bill 2301 be amended to insert the following language. Where would it go?
It would be, Mr. Chairman, for the record, Diana Godwin, the Oregon State Bar. I've reviewed the language from Mr. Morris and have made some few pencil changes. It would go on after line 19 of the House amendments to House Bill 2301. It would be a new subsection for Section 4. In other words, on line 12, you would insert a subsection 1 there at the beginning of the paragraph, and then a new subsection 2 that would read as follows. Mark, I gave you my only hand-marked-up copy.
Maybe I could assist the committee.
You read that.
If you'll turn to the House amendments, which is the one page.
Okay.
And on line 12... after Section 4, we'd add a subsection 1, and then continuing after line 19, we'd add a subsection 2, and subsection 2 would read as follows. An individual licensed under ORS 696.025, acting in the ordinary scope of the individual's license to arrange a real estate transaction, including the sale, purchase, exchange option, or lease, coupled with an option to purchase, lease for a term of a year or longer, or rental of real property, is not engaged in the practice of law in violation of ORS 9.160.
I should explain to Senator Kitzhaber that what this bill does, it authorizes physicians to practice medicine while making the practice of law without a license a capital offense.
Sounds good to me.
Right. Well, level now, the playing field here.
That's the way it works right now, isn't it?
if I could suggest that instead of the word individual, isn't the proper word person there?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would accept that as a friendly amendment if that's up to me to accept.
Would this be now tell me, this would be a new subsection of Section 4?
Yes, it would be a new subsection 2 of Section 4 of the...
Oh, I see. Section 4 would be a sub 1 there.
Yes.
And then this would be sub 2,
mm-hmm.
What was just read.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Senator Brockman, is that...
that's perfectly all right.
Is that all right with you?
Sure.
Does it affect your view now? It doesn't change your view on the bill.
Oh, that's a big help.
That's why Senator Kitzhaber's here.
Wondered.
Super.
All right, what... now, is this... Oh, there's Senator Wires.
Like you see.
Sure. We were trying to get an amendment down another committee. The OMA says that they should have to go see a doctor before they get a blood test. I was saying you ought to have people have to go see a lawyer before they get married.
You want this out or not?
All right. Now, so that's what counsel has just read is the motion by Senator Brenneman to amend. Any objection?
just to let realtors get endorsements.
They can do just about anything, as long as it's...
The scope of the practice.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and if I could ask the witnesses, in deleting the word course, did you want course and scope, or did you
just scope?
Okay.
Let me read this thing again here. Acting in the ordinary scope of the person's license. Now, is Brad Morse, are the words exchange option, is that intended to be one instrument, or is exchange supposed to be set off from option?
Your language, so.
Exchange option. It's one transaction.
One instrument? Is that an exchange option?
Let's see. Including
is that
the sale,
one thing?
Purchase, exchange.
Do you need a comma after exchange?
Yes, we do.
Okay. He needs a comma after exchange. That's his language.
So we're talking about an option, and we're talking about an exchange, aren't we?
Right.
Comma there. Exchange option is something exotic. I don't know.
Sounds exotic, doesn't it? Yeah, she forgot to put it.
Yeah, the comma cures it.
Yeah. Needs to be a comma.
Well, I think we better get that on record. Senator Wires.
Well, I hate to come in at the end here and ask a question if it's already been covered, but...
It hasn't been covered.
Are you, for the record, are you seeking to avoid being having the bar go out and say you're practicing law for doing things you're already doing, and you're not wanting to be able to do any things more than you're already doing?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wires, all we're asking for is recognition of current real estate practice and not for an expansion of practice.
All right, I think that's pretty clear, and I think we also have in the record a letter from the State Bar that states that the joint statement of principles between the Bar and the Oregon Association of Realtors recognizes the right of realtors to complete standard earner's money agreements, and that does not constitute the practice, and that's not changed by anything.
Could I ask a question in a slightly different way? And by doing this, I'll declare in advance my potential conflict of interest. I'm probably one of the few lawyers in the state who has a brother who's also a lawyer who's in a small town where there's a constant turf struggle between realtors and lawyers about what realtors can do. Well, if we pass this, what you're asking for, could it be part of the record that this won't cause a complete revisiting of this issue among the realtors in towns like Hood River, saying now we can do all these things more?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wires, no, it would not. And I might also add that we do have what we call a realtor-attorney accord, which tries to define what is the practice of real estate.
I have no objection in that case. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Let's see. I think that Senator Brenneman's amendment has been adopted because there was no objection. We have a -7 amendment that we heard testimony from Representative Berea on earlier.
Yes, I'd like to move that out, Mr. Chair, if there's no objection.
Senator Brockman?
I thought we adopted that as far as...
No, I don't...
We may have, I don't remember.
Well,
I don't think
in any event, Senator Hamby will move the -7 amendment dated 4/20/87. Any objection? That's so ordered.
No.
Deals with immigration.
And I should note for the record now that Senators Hill and Cohen are absent, and Senator Kitzhaber is sitting in as a member of this committee. Not that we need him, but he's here. So we're ready to move this bill out then. Senator Brenneman, Senator Hamby. Okay, then Senator Hamby moves House Bill 2301 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Call the roll. Senator Kitzhaber is a voting member of the committee in the absence of Senator Hill.
Brenneman?
Aye.
Brockman?
No.
Cohen?
Aye.
No.
Wires?
Aye. Aye. That carries. Stick around. It's a very interesting committee.
I don't think you need me. You need 5 votes to get a bill out of this committee?
Sometimes.
Would you like to carry this bill, Senator?
Actually, I consider it a privilege to carry a bill out of the Judiciary Committee.
I think we can find one for you.
I figured you might be able to do that.
Oh, by the way, I'll ask the council, make sure the legislative council puts that in the proper form. Yeah, okay, thanks a lot.
You can go home or you can deal with this.
Where'd he'll go?
Yeah, right. Well, let's see.
I really have to.
Pardon?
I really got it.
Oh, okay, I think... Let me just say this. Now, we don't have a firm meeting for Tuesday. I'm confident that the president will approve of our meeting on Tuesday because we've got a few more things to get done. So I think you can plan on a Tuesday meeting of this committee at 3 o'clock. But everything we do from now on has got to, we have to hand in a work plan and it has to be approved. So that's kind of the shape this committee's in. So I guess that with that, then we'll...
So this isn't Auld Lang Syne, huh?
No, this isn't Auld Lang Syne. Well, okay, Senator Brockman has got to leave, and I'm just about out of members. So I think we'll just adjourn the committee. I think we've covered, covered everything except maybe two of these. Okay, covered all except one.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2734 is the parking bill that we've seen a few times. Hopefully we won't see it again. We're trying to work out problems with a comparable bill, one of our bills that's in House Judiciary, and that should be resolved tomorrow.
Mr. Chair, did you act on the one that we just returned from the floor on a typo or on a drafting error? Which one was that? That was Eric's. We must have.
Probably isn't posted, is it?
Do you recall there was an error in a reference to an ORS? We could have backed it on that one, but I don't even remember the number, so.
I think if it's not on that list, you can't act on it.
I thought it was.
No, let's see now.
Maybe it is.
We got, let's see. I tell you, there is another bill here that I, are you gentlemen signing up on another bill? Yeah. Okay, 24, so yes, you are on here. I've got, and Steve Jacobson signed up on that one, too. I'll tell you what. John, come on up on 2474 on a public hearing here. I'll stay as long as I've got three other people that can stay with me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm John Collins, Yamhill County District Attorney, and appearing on behalf of the Oregon District Attorneys Association in support of House Bill 2474. This bill essentially would extend the statute of limitations in child abuse cases from the current 2 years and 3 years to 4 years and 6 years, respectively, for misdemeanors and felonies. I've submitted some written testimony, and I would refer the committee to that. I'll try to skim through it. Essentially, the statute of limitations are designed to protect persons from a lack of diligence on the part of crime victims and law enforcement. There are, however, unique psychological factors which cause victims of child abuse to not report the crime until well after the crime has occurred. Many victims never report the offense or only after they've become old enough to realize the impact of the offense and have an opportunity to trust someone enough to report it. Offenders should not benefit from the psychological impact of the crime they commit. Extension of the statute of limitations for child abuse cases is good public policy based upon the recognition of the reality of child abuse reporting. I've attached to my written testimony a list of reasons often given by children as to why they do not report the crime. For example, I didn't tell because I didn't like talking about it. I didn't think my mom would believe me, and I thought she'd get mad at me. He told me if I told, he'd put me in a foster home or JDH and take me away from my mom. Or, well, I couldn't tell. My mom is already sick and my stepbrother was in trouble with the police. Or he told me people wouldn't understand, so we better not say anything. There are other examples, but in summary, children do not report because they do not understand the legal significance of reporting. They are often threatened by someone who exercises control over them and in whom they trust to be right. They feel guilty about the conduct. They fear that they did something wrong and will be punished or disliked for it. They fear that they will not be believed. And the concept of reporting that an adult the child trusted has done something wrong does not compute from the perspective of the child. An exception to the statute of limitations is not without precedent. The legislature has adopted an exception, for example, for crimes of fraud, ORS 131.125, subsection 3. The nature of fraud is to keep the crime hidden from report and prosecution. The nature of child abuse is likewise a crime which the perpetrator intends to be kept a secret, often so he or she can continue to exploit the child. The Oregon District Attorney's Association sponsored House Bill 3043, and if that sounds familiar, that was the one that was referred to as a gut and stuff bill that was heard. It now stands for something completely differently. We had asked in that bill that the statute of limitations be extended to the child's 21st birthday. The concept being is that the child should have an opportunity to mature sufficiently to overcome some of the psychological factors which make reporting unlikely, and to have access to someone they can trust and to whom they can report the abuse.